hearts tonight through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. On June 3rd, 2006, the parents of a six-year-old boy experienced what could have been a parent's worst nightmare. That evening, Michael Emmanuel Jr. of Boca Raton, Florida, was at a restaurant celebrating his sixth birthday along with family and a few friends. After the party, all the children and the adults climbed into three different vehicles and headed home. Everyone, that is, except Michael, the birthday boy. In their haste to pack up and leave, Michael's parents departed the restaurant without their son. Employees found Michael wandering around the restaurant at 10 p.m. and called the police. The police held the boy overnight until they were able to find his parents the next day. Now you may wonder, how could two parents forget their six-year-old at a restaurant on the day of his birthday celebration? When Michael's mother realized he was not home, she simply assumed that her son had left the restaurant with his grandmother. It was not until the next morning that the mother realized that her son was actually missing. Unfortunately for this little boy and his family, it's possible to have a joyful celebration and still forget the guest of honor. During this Christmas season, there will be, and there already has been, plenty of celebrations as people attend parties, dinners, and family get-togethers. Unfortunately, the busyness of this season may cause us to forget the true guest of honor. Because of the busyness of the season, it's easy for us to lose sight of why we celebrate Christmas in the first place. Tonight, we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture which brings us back to the core meaning of Christmas. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist begins to question whether Jesus is really the long-awaited Messiah and promised Savior of the world. John's question cuts right to the heart of the Christmas message. Please follow along as I read Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Matthew 11, verses 1 to 6. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." This passage of Scripture here in Matthew raises three critical points for each one of us to think about. First, the question of Jesus' identity is the most important issue we must settle in our hearts. In verse 2, we learn that John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the long-awaited Savior. Keep in mind that John was a prophet sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. John was a man of great faith. In fact, he was the one who baptized Jesus. By this time, John had been imprisoned by King Herod, and more than likely, as he suffered in prison, John began to wonder if he was wrong about Jesus' identity. John's question cuts right to the heart of the most important issue that confronts every single human being. Who is Jesus? Let me point out that no credible historian doubts that Jesus existed. We know for certain that early in the first century, a Jewish carpenter named Jesus changed the course of history through his influential life and teaching. Was he simply a gifted moral teacher, or was he something more? Let's consider a few things Jesus said about himself. In Mark 9:37, Jesus said that to welcome him into our lives was to welcome God. In John 14:9, Jesus said that he was God in human flesh. In Mark chapter 2, he claimed to have the authority to forgive sins. Another extraordinary claim Jesus made is found in Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said that one day he will judge the world. One day every person who has ever lived will stand before Christ and will give an account for how they have lived their life. If Jesus was an ordinary human being, these claims are ridiculous and should not be taken seriously. As C.S. Lewis once put it, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about Jesus being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Although many people believe that Jesus was nothing more than a good teacher or an enlightened man, he never left those options open to us. He claimed that he is the only way to God. He backed up these claims with miracles and a depth of moral teaching that is unparalleled in human history. If Jesus is the Son of God who came to redeem us from our sins, how we respond to him has serious implications both for this life and for all eternity. Around the world over the next 24 hours or so, people will exchange gifts and celebrate Christmas according to their traditions. For example, I read about a popular Christmas tradition that takes place in Puerto Rico. In that country, it's customary for large groups of people to go Christmas caroling late at night. A single group can number more than 100 people. They bring their own sound system and quietly surround someone's house around 2 a.m. They set up their instruments and then treat the occupants of that house and the whole neighborhood to a loud 30-minute concert. After the concert, the group expects to be fed a meal. So let me say, if you're stressed about cooking Christmas dinner, imagine being awakened at 2 a.m. and then having to feed 100 people. Around the world, the birth of Christ is celebrated because Jesus is the answer to humanity's deepest needs. John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask if Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. Instead of directly answering the question, it's interesting that Jesus instead pointed to the miracles he had performed. He had healed the blind, the deaf, and the paralyzed. He had healed the sick and raised the dead. In other words, the things Jesus did gave proof that he was and is the Savior of the world. The name Jesus literally means the Lord is salvation. The word salvation means deliverance. And this is the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus came to deliver us from the penalty and the power of sin. Scripture teaches us that we are all born with a sinful nature. Our natural tendency as human beings is to break God's laws. The fact that our world is filled with greed and violence and injustice, broken relationships, selfishness, and so on, is proof that human beings have a fallen nature. For this reason, our greatest need is to be forgiven of our sin and be reconciled to God. God is holy and perfect, and our sin alienates us from him. This is the deeper meaning of Christmas. Jesus came to redeem us from our sin and reconcile us to God the Father. Ultimately, Jesus answers the deepest questions of life. Is there a God who loves me and gives purpose and meaning to my life? The answer is yes, because Jesus came to bring us new life and to give us a greater purpose than living for our own devices. Is there life after death? The answer is yes, because Jesus conquered death through his resurrection, and through our faith in him, we can experience eternal life. Will good ultimately have the final say over all the evil that exists in this world? Once again, the answer is yes, because Jesus has conquered sin and evil through his death on the cross. In Jesus, we find the answer to life's deepest questions. Well, several years ago, a man in Arkansas sent a letter to a newspaper to seek advice about buying gifts for women. So listen up, men. Here is what the man wrote in his letter. He said, "Women are very touchy about receiving certain gifts, as I discovered after buying my girlfriend a baseball glove for her birthday. It seemed to me to be a thoughtful gift, especially since she claimed to be not getting enough physical exercise. But apparently my girlfriend didn't see it that way. The minute she unwrapped the gift, she ran out of the room crying. At first, I thought those were tears of joy streaming down her face. I thought she was overwhelmed at being the first of her friends to get a baseball glove. Or I figured she was so excited she couldn't wait to go outside and try out the new glove. When she didn't return for a few hours, I got the hint. Here I'd spent hours running from one sporting goods store to the next, and my girlfriend calls me insensitive. You think I had bought my girlfriend a subscription to a fishing magazine or something like that. Or I had given her a box of shotgun shells. But I didn't do that because everyone knows that shotgun shells are the perfect Christmas stocking stuffer." Well, here's a man who simply doesn't understand the significance of his actions. When it comes to the significance of Christ's birth, you and I cannot afford to be ignorant about its importance. And I want to close with one last point from tonight's passage. Jesus will either be your stumbling block or he will be your eternal hope. In verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." It's clear from those words that how we respond to Jesus is of critical importance. He will be a stumbling block to those who reject him, or he will be a savior for those who put their faith in him. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a baby who was born in Bethlehem. And while it is important for us to mark the significance of Jesus' birth, we must look beyond the manger to see who this child really is. He was God in human flesh, who came to bring us hope and new life, to remind us that God loves us. He came to reconcile us to God by dying for our sins on a cross. In this world of confusion and pain, Jesus brings hope to every person who will turn from their sin and trust him as Lord and Savior. Do you personally know the peace and the hope that Jesus Christ offers to you, the peace and hope that he can bring to your life and to your heart? If you are here this evening, and maybe you sense that God has been speaking to you through the music, through the message, through the videos, and maybe you're here and you're unsure about Jesus and what it means to put your faith in him, I want to encourage you to speak with me after the service tonight or get in touch with me at some point and we can talk further. The information is on our website where you can reach me. I would be more than happy to share with you and to answer any questions you may have about your faith journey. Please join with me and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the hope and the peace that we can know through Christ. We thank you that he is indeed the Savior of all those who put their trust and faith in him. We thank you that he lived a sinless life and then offered up his life to die for our sins. Again, we thank you that through him, we can experience purpose and meaning, hope, peace, and the very love of God. I pray for any who are here this evening who have never, ever taken that step of trusting Jesus, that you would speak into their heart through your Holy Spirit. I pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen.